When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Time now for Fitzy and Mego with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Okay, welcome in. It's me, Megan Ottolini, and I am not joined by Nick Fitzy Stevens today. I'm joined once again by Chris Scheim. And Scheim, I feel like for the amount of shows that we've been doing together over the last 2 or 3 weeks at this point, like, we got to have our own imaging. This is a real brand that we're building.
I know. I don't get it. What is Ken? What are we doing here? Ken, get on this.
Like, I don't
let's
know.
Let's get some imaging in here.
I had to say,
5 minutes.
Every time that we hop on air here, I have no idea what combination of names it's going to be. Fitzy and Mego, Fitzy and Scheim. Like, for some reason, maybe it's written in Fitzy's contract that even when
he's
Fitzy
just everywhere
is not appearing on the show, his name and likeness must be attached to the show. Because even like, to pull back the curtain a little bit, when I go and check the app that our workplace uses for scheduling, it says like
the Fitzy shows,
the Fitzy show lineup, and I'm like, what is this Fitzy show? The Fitzy brand might just be the strongest brand outside of the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzy is crushing it. So whoever's listening, our imaging guy Damon, if you're listening today, please. Mego and Scheim need an open ASAP.
I think so. And good for you for riding the coattails of both, Scheim. I mean, that is just impressive positioning within our workplace by you.
I do what I can here, Mego. I really try to set myself up for success however possible.
Okay, well, Scheim and I are going to be with you up until 2 o'clock. Of course, we have an incredible tradition kicking off this afternoon, but we're going to be spending a lot of time today talking about the NFL, talking about your New England Patriots, talking about Drake May, Jerod Mayo. We might touch on a little bit of Red Sox. We're going to play a fun holiday game.
Yes.
And I had full intention when I was putting this show together, Scheim, because we have done a couple shows this week together.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm done with the UNC talk. I'm sorry. Like, now that we went through the entire press conference, it's been a day or two. I'm just like, how much more can we get out of this build to UNC conversation? I understand it's historic. It's very strange. I wrote a column about how strange I think it is, but I'm like, enough. And then from the heavens come the report, or maybe somewhere further south, come the report from The Athletic. Diana Rossini, right before we go on air, drops this astounding piece of information, something that we thought that absolutely would never, ever, ever happen. When you talk about grudges in professional sports, she dropped basically just a whole bunch of notes on the NFL, but starts with this on Bill Belichick. So she talks about Bill going to the ACC, going to UNC, and here's what she writes. If you thought that was surprising, wait, there's more. About 2 weeks ago, the New York Jets were informed and were stunned to learn that there was interest in their organization coming from none other than Bill Belichick. The same Bill Belichick who famously or infamously, from the organization's perspective, was the Jets head coach for less than a day 24 years ago before scribbling on a piece of paper, "I resign as HC of the NYJ." Belichick took great pleasure in torturing the Jets over his years as Patriots coach, and even more so in the past year as a TV analyst. For months, Belichick's inner circle quietly conducted informal conversations with a few teams testing the waters. A very small circle of people in the Jets building were made aware of his interest, though I was told no meeting nor formal conversation ever happened because the UNC opportunity popped up. So in the end, none of the talks with the Jets or any other NFL team turned into anything serious. And North Carolina is Chapel Bill. And
there is one major takeaway from
this. Wait. So, but I just want to say, because I know that there are people who are probably driving around and going, Diana Rossini of the Patriots love
Jarrett Stidham.
I almost said Jeff Stidham. That's how highly I think of him. Jarrett Stidham. Well, Brian Casillo, who is a New York Jets beat reporter for the New York Post, he just tweeted a few minutes ago, "A source confirmed that someone from Bill Belichick's camp reached out to the Jets to express interest in the head coaching job a few weeks ago," as Diana Rossini reported. There was no formal meeting or conversation. So that's somebody else who reached out to check on that. And it sounds like there was some contact made.
Yeah, I read this and my immediate thought was, oh, the NFL literally wanted nothing to do with Bill Belichick. Like, this was... his entire team was reaching out to NFL teams. His inner circle was whispering to NFL teams, testing the waters. And the only reason that this UNC job materialized is because they were like, oh man, there's no chance. We have to be so desperate as to check in with the Jets because not a single other team in the NFL will give us what we want and give Bill Belichick a head coaching job and full control. And I mean, it's just like anybody, like I was arguing with Greg and Wiggy and even Curtis on Friday. We were all talking about, like, Bill, they were convinced Bill was still going to coach in the NFL. And I think this right here from Diana Rossini shows you the NFL simply, as much as Bill may want the NFL does not want him.
Wait, no. So I'm sorry. I was actually on the Six Rings podcast on Friday morning.
Ooh, okay,
so
flex.
I was preparing for that. So I missed this. Wiggy, Greg, they think that, and Curtis, it sounds like they think that Bill's going to coach again in the NFL after the UNC job.
Wiggy was convinced that Bill still wanted, or was still going to coach in the NFL. Greg was convinced that the buyout in his contract was so that he could go coach in the NFL. And I'm sorry, but like that may have been possible. You would have thought yesterday, but with this information from Diana Rossini, nobody in the NFL wanted him. As again, Bill wants to be in the NFL. Clearly, I was wrong about that because I thought he was going to be happy with his cushy media gigs and he wasn't going to even want to coach again. I was wrong about that, but I was right in the fact that the NFL doesn't want him. Like, nobody wants to give him what he wants, and he is not going to take less than what he wants. So the NFL is not interested in Bill Belichick.
I think this reeks of desperation. So I agree with you on that. I don't know how you see it any other way. What is attractive about the New York Jets job to Bill Belichick right now? I mean, that organization is a complete mess. And it's an organization that, as Diana Rossini points out in her reporting, he mocked on television and degraded the owner on the Manning cast. Like, this is not like just something that is a quick aside that he said as a toss away on some podcast.
Pat McAfee as well.
That nobody listens to. Yeah, he's out there on giant platforms, very aware of what he's saying. And so that's like, it's a dual thing, right? There's still a certain level of arrogance with Bill that he thinks, well, if he reaches out to them, there has to at least be a bite there. But on the other side, it does make you wonder. Rossini reports that he reaches out to a couple other NFL teams, but a few teams is how it was characterized. What is he getting back from those teams? Just like a thanks but no thanks, or we're not even there yet? Like, it just, to me, I don't know. I got to be honest, Chime, it's really bumming me out Like, I don't like story anymore. Yeah. Because I don't like this. Like, Bill is a highly...
He does seem pretty desperate.
Just the most accomplished NFL coach in history. He's in his 70s. It's weird enough that he's going back to UNC. That he's going to UNC. That he's going to college for the first time. When college has never been less attractive, you would have to think, to a coach like Bill Belichick. And it seems like, to me, like, he mostly wants to go down there because of a lifestyle decision. Yep. And that he wants to have something that's kind of like a cushy setup down there. He can have everybody that he loves, everybody that he likes. He can have full control of personnel. He can have full control of hiring. He can bring in every family member, every second cousin, every cousin and, you know, cousin once removed of a McDaniels or a Daboll or anybody that he has worked with at any point. And so it's just a situation that he can make it as perfect as he wants. That is already weird enough for me to wrap my head around. But now hearing that he's reaching out to his ex-girlfriend, who he talked about how ugly she was for the last 20 years, like, and basically just tried to embarrass her at every corner. I'm just like, I don't know, man. What is going on with you?
Yeah, it is clear that he was so desperate to get to the NFL. All he wanted to do was get back to the NFL, and yet the NFL didn't want him. They're like, dude, go away. We're done with you. And you're right. It reeks of desperation, and it's almost sad. Like, a guy.
It is sad. It's bumming me out. I'm like, I'm sorry. I love that he loves football and he wants to keep coaching. And I actually, the nepotism thing doesn't really bother me, because I think people, when Bill was here, blew that out of proportion with Bill when it happens everywhere else in the league. Literally everywhere else in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, it's like incestuous across the NFL.
So don't pretend like it's something that's just special that happens here. But so, like, I think it's sweet that he likes to employ his kids and he wants to keep coaching at UNC. But, like, now this whole thing of reaching out to the Jets, of the reporting from Seth Wickersham that this is like a big FU to the NFL and that he's disgusted with them. I'm just like,
it's not FU to the NFL, because the NFL said FU to you. Like,
yeah,
that's what's terrible about it.
It's not a good look, and I don't like watching it.
I feel like, for me, this...
It's not a fun story.
No, and I feel like a report like this hurts the legacy of Bill Belichick more than just, like, being like, yeah, I want to go coach college football. Like, I would not want this stuff out here. And I think that it's kind of his own doing as well. Like, you don't tell Seth Wickersham this is a big F you to the NFL, because the NFL is going to be like...
Well, what if his confidants did?
Told that, well, yeah, I mean, he should have better control of his cronies then.
Right.
Because if that's the case, the NFL is going to be like, yeah, we can mudsling too here, buddy. And somebody told Diana Rossini, oh, yeah, Belichick was checking in on NFL jobs and nobody wanted anything to do with him. Like, dude, what are you doing? You're making yourself out to be like this sad old man who can't get attention from anybody.
Exactly. And he's like, I don't think he is, for the record. I don't.
No.
I think Bill can absolutely still coach. I don't think that he's the guy that he was when he was 58 years old, 55 years old. Like, come on. There's a mental acuity and sharpness that you can't have for most people in your 70s that you had in your 50s and into your 60s. Like,
for sure.
I understand people are healthier and they're taking supplements and Bill works out all the time. I know, you used to see him down there
on the treadmill with his
lifting
highlighter.
Gloves and stuff. Like, I get it. But at the same time, like, I think he can coach at a really high level and can still be one of the top coaches in whatever level that he coaches at. But I don't like all this mess around him and the desperation, and I think it's beneath him. And I wouldn't sit there and say, like, oh, UNC college is totally beneath him. I would buy into the idea that he wants to go do something different and he doesn't want to go back to the NFL. But then you get the ex-girlfriend report from the Jets, and it just grosses me out and
sad.
It bums me out.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, it's a brutal, brutal look. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it feels like the Crafts were right. It's like, yeah, we wanted to move on from the greatest coach of all time, and nobody else in the NFL wanted him. Like, was it still kind of gross that they made the dynasty and made Bill out to be a villain? Absolutely. But at the same time, like, clearly the NFL feels like the game has passed him by a little bit, and that he doesn't deserve all of the control and power that he so desperately wants.
Do you think, okay, so those are two different things, though. Do you think that the NFL feels that the overall that the game has passed him by? Or do you think that it's more, he's asking for too much? We need to have more than a 3-year plan for our franchise. We need to have a 5 to 7 year plan to be responsible. And also there's, of course, a level of people trying to keep their jobs within an organization when they're around people, who executives who are making decisions and know full well that Bill wants to come in and essentially replace them with his own people.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely more the latter, that Bill wants too much power. But I also think that in a way, like, there's a portion of that ties into the game passing him by, because I think a lot of the drafting and talent evaluation is what has passed him by. Not so much the defensive, like, coaching, because the guy is still the greatest defensive mastermind to have ever existed in the NFL. And I mean, Kyle Shanahan told you as much when he said, like, yeah, I called Bill Belichick and I asked him if he wanted to just, like, come hang out and be part of the staff and, like, do whatever he wants. And so, like, I think the NFL, in a way, would still like him to be around, but at their discretion and how they see fit, not how he sees fit. And that's kind of where the disconnect is.
And Bill just doesn't roll that way.
Yeah, exactly. He wants all or nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to continue this conversation. I know I see on the text line, you said you weren't going to talk about, you don't want to talk about UNC, and now you continue to talk about UNC. We're not talking about UNC. We're talking about Bill reaching out to the Jets. That I came in here fully with no intention of talking about the storyline anymore because I was sick of it, but this is a really weird curveball. And if you don't feel that way, I don't know. Then you just don't care about Bill Belichick anymore. And that's fine. We'll have Patriots talk for you later in the show, I promise. But when we come back, we are going to continue this. I see some of your calls lined up. We're going to try to get to you. And before we do all that, we got to get to trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins' 5-game West Coast swing continues tonight in Vancouver as they take on the Canucks. Bees looking to snap the mini 2-game losing streak to start this trip after losses in Winnipeg and Seattle. Puck drop from Rogers Arena set for 7 p.m. Day off for the Celtics as they travel to the nation's capital for a matchup with the Wizards tomorrow night. Tip-off set for 6 p.m. Pats returning from their bye week and heading out west to Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Rookie wide receiver Javon Baker has already been ruled out with a concussion, while safety Kyle Duggar, corner Christian Gonzalez, and defensive tackle Christian Barmore are among those listed as questionable. Kickoff from State Farm Stadium set for 4:25 tomorrow afternoon. Hot stove rolling on in Major League Baseball. A pair of blockbuster trades going down yesterday as the Yankees acquire all-star closer Devin Williams from the Brewers, and the Cubs get all-star outfielder Kyle Tucker from the Astros. As for the Red Sox, Alex Spears reporting that they're still in the market for a starting pitcher, even after acquiring Garrett Crochet from the White Sox earlier this week. Speaking of Crochet, he met with the media via Zoom yesterday, and here's what he had to say about pitching at Fenway Park.
It's an electric atmosphere, and it's fans that are knowledgeable about baseball, and not every fan base can say that.
Finally, it's Army-Navy week in college football as the 11-1, 22nd-ranked Black Knights take on the Midshipmen from the home of the Washington Commanders, Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. Don't forget, you can hear coverage of that game from Westwood One right here on WEEI starting at 2 p.m. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shime coming up after this.
This is Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
It is not Fitzy and Mego. It's Mego and Shime. One of the most consistent shows going on WEEI right now.
Damn right.
Shime, we got people lined up wanting to weigh in on this latest Belichick news, or I should say report, because we don't know it for sure, but Diana Russini and a Jets beat reporter from the New York Post have both confirmed this, that somebody from Bill Belichick's camp did reach out to the Jets, it seems like just a couple weeks ago, and then all of a sudden this UNC job pops up and it's just far too attractive for him not to pounce.
Can't
on.
Can't turn that down.
Why would he talk to the Jets? Let's get through some of the... Oh, hold on. Let me just grab my mouse, which Ken has over at the other computer to try to take these calls. Whoop. Let me see if I can grab it by the mouse tail over here.
Uh-oh.
I got it. All right. Don't worry. We got Dan in Rhode Island. Dan, you want to talk about Bill Belichick?
Who doesn't, right?
all week.
Yeah. So let me a point and a question. Point is, let's just put aside the character and the age for a minute, okay? I mean, I know it's a factor. Let's just strictly as a football coach. I'm looking from one of these other teams. So you're looking at a guy who basically for the last 5 years, I know the drafting and everything as well, but the record is terrible, okay? The six Super Bowls are in the distant past. Me, that doesn't mean anything. That, I just don't think that's even relevant to the situation. And let's be honest with ourselves. The last couple of years here, he hasn't been a great coach, talent or no talent. They've been undisciplined. We've talked about it many weeks, many games. Mm-hmm. This is an uncharacteristic Bill Belichick team. They don't take penalties. Like, that stuff's been going on for years. This year is nothing that much new to what's already been going on. I don't think he's a good coach anymore. I think he's a great game planner, if you want to put that into it, you know, but that's it. I don't think he's good anywhere else. He's washed. And I think the other teams see it. And here's the thing that another question for you guys, pose it this way. We're not the Bills. We're not the Cowboys. We're not like a coach away or whatever you want to call it. If Tom Brady and Bill Belichick never existed here, okay, and say that the Patriots are what they are right now, just a moribund franchise, would you want Bill Belichick coming here right now? Because I would be a hard pass for sure. That bring nothing to us.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I would counter with, like, if I'm the Giants right now, I would want Bill Belichick. I would be like, look, we are so bad. We don't have a quarterback. All we have is like a few defensive pieces and a young stud receiver. And I know Bill can't draft receivers anyway, so that's good. We already have one in the building. Like, it's the perfect opportunity to bring in Bill. Like, yeah, bring in your cronies, whatever. And if it doesn't work after 2 years, you flush it and start again. You're already going to have to start again if you're the Giants right now anyways. So, like, I would give the greatest football coach in the history of the sport an opportunity to at least try. But clearly, that's not how NFL teams feel.
So the way I feel about that, though, is I wonder, especially if you're the Giants, who have such a history with Bill Belichick, personal connection with Bill Belichick, if it's a total disaster for 2 years straight, like if it is the Patriots this season for 2 years straight and Bill Belichick is sitting there at 74, 75 years old and you fire him, like, isn't that just... That's a tough PR move, isn't it?
Is it? After two? I mean, if he stunk, you fire him. I don't think so. Like, I mean, he already got fired once. It's not like he's unfireable.
Right. And how? No, I agree. But like I just think that for a lot of these teams looking at Bill Belichick, I agree with what a lot of Dan the caller just said, which is, of course, the last three or four seasons under Bill, they were bad teams. Even when they were winning... in 2021, that wasn't a great team. I thought that was a lot of the work of Josh McDaniels, to be honest, as an offensive coordinator.
I agree.
And so, I don't know how much of the defense was under Bill at any given time. Obviously, he has a huge, he has his fingerprints all over it, you have to assume. But at the same time, I still do think that he is a game day coach. I think he can still make adjustments on the fly and make all of the decisions that you have to make on game day at an extremely high level. So I wouldn't say that he's washed. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think that all of a sudden all your abilities and your knowledge and the decades of experience that you have just kind of like melt out of you over 4 or 5 years. I just don't think it works that way. I think that a lot of the arrogance, I think a lot of maybe the paranoia of who he wants around him.
I think it would be fair to say, like,
that was some of the biggest issues.
He might be washed as a talent evaluator. I think might be fair.
I think that's fair.
But when you, like, I think that's why he's not getting a job in the NFL, right? If he just wanted to coach and, like, the ownership and everybody could take care of picking the GM and allowing the GM to pick the players, then he would probably have a job because he's a better game day. I mean, I would take Bill Belichick if I have a game to play tomorrow and it's the Super Bowl, I would much rather have Bill Belichick coaching Josh Allen than Sean McDermott. It's not even close. Bill Belichick is going to make every right decision when the clock's winding down. He's not going to panic. He's going to know when to review and challenge things in large part because he has Ernie in his ear. But regardless, like, That I think is without question. I think Bill would still be a good game day coach and defensive right. game planner for anybody's facing.
There's just way too much baggage that he brings
Agreed.
With him.
100%.
He brings like a real housewife's worth of baggage wherever he goes. It's just like five Louis Vuitton cases worth of baggage. And the baggage gets in the way a lot. I don't know. First of all, Nike in tow. Nike would be overweight luggage.
Yeah,
have you checked out Nike on Instagram lately?
No.
Does
he have his own Instagram?
He has Heft. Yeah.
Oh,
Nike
he has Heft.
The
hey.
Swoosh dog.
Oh, okay.
Check it out at the commercial break because that dog... Look, I don't know. I mean, I run my dog a lot, so she's very fit, but that dog...
Oh, the account is private now. I can't look at it.
Oh, maybe because Jones and I spent a lot of time talking about Nike's weight and how much he needs Bill to intercede.
Oh, tough.
Let's go to some more of these calls. This is Bob in Londonderry. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys. I enjoy the show. I enjoy it. Great program.
Thank you. I
was just calling in. That guy Dan summed up everything as far as I'm concerned, and I'd go a little bit further that through the years, even when they were winning, I'm one of the people that was amazed. I know he can't answer every question, but the arrogance that he would give people when they'd ask a question, he would just moan and groan. He'd talk about something that had nothing to do with the question. And I find it strange that when you guys have a staff meeting, good or bad, sometimes they're both. I can't imagine if something's a little wrong and your boss talks to you and asks you a question and you sit there, groan and moan and start giving an answer about your grandmother who lives in Maine. I can't imagine how long that would go for before you'd be out of a job.
Yeah, but Bob, that was with the media, not his bosses, right?
True, right. But I meant the people that would just, but us fans that would listen to these interviews
sure.
would say, how does he get away with this? And I understand to a degree, but now that everything has long since been said and done, to even do what we did to Brady, I wasn't even the biggest Brady fan, but to just put these people, put the team and the fans in this situation they're in now, that I'm not sure they're ever getting out. Seriously, this is they're in a horrible situation.
Thank you, Bob. And I will say Diana Rossini has further reporting on the future of the Patriots with mm-hmm. Mayo and May. And we'll get to that in a minute. I just want to round out this conversation. The way that Bill handles the media, look, an introductory press conference is always going to be the most joyous that you see a coach.
Yep.
So I was mocking a little bit some of our Southern media brethren and their reaction.
The North Carolina Public News Radio guy.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Yeah.
Their reaction to Bill Belichick, like, oh my God, like, give me my grits. I can't believe that Bill Belichick is down here.
Did you have a 400-page Bible that you handed the coach?
Bill said, don't believe everything you read in the papers.
My first words were, beat Duke.
Did you hear that? He says he wants us to beat Duke. He's one of us. One of us.
Look at that. Cut off the sleeves of his suit jacket, man. That's good.
Man, Bubba's so funny. Look what Bubba came up with. So that's going to be the nicest that you see, Bill. And
oh, yeah.
I predict that wears off very quickly. I predict that even with the student, he'll be more patient and nice with like the student reporters, the kid who's from the Chapel Hill paper and the Chapel Hill news station and all of that. And I'm sure that it'll be a different level of grilling because this is a very tough market. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm not somebody who like stomps into a press conference and intends to hold everybody's feet to the fire every time I'm sitting in there. But there are people like that. There are people that go in and they treat it like it's hand-to-hand combat and they don't care if Bill basically spits in their face on, you know, Patriots fifth quarter or whatever it is. And that's fine. I don't think that there's going to be that much of that down at UNC, but I think that he's going to tire of the media car wash down there,
yeah.
The weekly little radio show that he'll probably have to do where he listens to North Carolinians. What do you call them?
North Carolinians
calling in and giving their opinion about what he should do or what he should have done the week before.
And he's still making his appearances on the Manning Cast and Pat McAfee.
I think that's going to wear thin very quickly.
Probably,
I think
yes.
We're going to see much more of the old Bill. And I wonder how that'll go over.
Yeah, I think in a small town atmosphere like that, it may not go over as smoothly. But then again, like, I also am willing to give him the opportunity to change at least a little bit. Maybe he does adjust his style with them compared to what he was here. He may have just been, again, like this, it was like 20 years of just constant just badgering of him, I feel like. And I feel like that wore him down a lot, because at the beginning, he was a little bit more talkative, a little bit more friendly in his press conferences than he was, you know, halfway through and towards the end. And so I think maybe this year off and the media tours and the media jobs have maybe opened him up a little bit, where he may be a little more friendlier. He's still going to be gruff old Bill Belichick. He'll snort at some questions. Like, of course, that's going to happen. But at the same time, I think there's a chance that he is more friendly than he was the last 10 years he was here.
He'll have that. Maybe he'll do a lot of, like, bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh, South. That's a good one. That's basically
a way to tell people in the South to go F yourself.
Yes.
Is bless your heart.
Yes.
Or I think you're just a complete moron. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve.
Don't let me say bless your heart, Nick. You gave me a
That's not very nice, Steve.
I'm just, a lot of times when I've called you, I hung up and you said, I don't know what Steve was saying. Let me start out by saying what I'm saying. This guy, Bill Belichick, was banished from the NFL. They banished him. And they banished him for a lot of reasons. Yes, it was his attitude. Great if you don't have friends, because that never helps. You got to. The guy hasn't produced in this years.
Oh, Steve, I'm sorry. You have a tough connection. I will try to get back to you, but you're dropping like every three words. So that's tough. We'll see if we can get you a better connection, because I do want to hear from you. But I started this show saying that I don't want to talk about UNC the entire 2 hours of this show again, leading up to Army Navy. And here we are. We're like 35 minutes in. I'm going to try to get back to Steve, but I do want to bring up this other piece of the Diana Rossini report that she put out. The first part was all about Bill Belichick reaching out to the Jets, the ex who he called ugly for 20 years, and did so even in his quasi-retirement when he wasn't coaching this year on national TV multiple times, and then he reached out. But here's something about your Patriots. If you're sick of hearing Bill to UNC and then Bill to Jets gossip.
Oh, yes, let's pivot.
Okay, this is from Diana Rossini today in The Athletic. May and Mayo will stick together. While there hasn't been a public vote of confidence for the head coach, Gerard Mayo, from the Kraft family, Patriots leadership is standing by him. Just as discussions about the next NFL hiring cycles heat up, team owner Robert Kraft has privately assured those close to him that he's committed to giving his first-year head coach the time and resources he needs to grow into the role. The organization understood from the start that this wouldn't be seamless. Transitioning into a high-pressure role like this, especially following the legendary Belichick, comes with a steep learning curve, and mistakes were expected. The Krafts want to allow Mayo the opportunity to find his voice, establish his footing, and develop into the leader they believe he can be. The franchise knows they have their quarterback in Drake May, and his coach will be given a runway. Thoughts on that, Shime?
Yeah, I think that's the right move. And so clearly Diane is getting information, I assume, from somebody close to the Krafts. And so, like, this to me makes sense. I felt like this was how it had to go all along. I didn't think Gerard Mayo's job was in that much jeopardy. I think somebody like DeMarcus Covington will end up being the scapegoat here, at least in season one, where it's like, hey, our defense just didn't live up to snuff. We got to move on from him and kind of change some things up. But this to me feels like the right move. You could not put Gerard Mayo, a guy who had never been a head coach at any level of football ever, into this position in such a bad situation and then immediately fire him. Like, that is horrible. That is just a horrible thing to do. And especially a guy that you claim you had picked out 5 years in advance, like you knew he was going to be your next head coach, all this stuff, to then go back on all of that and then fire him after year one when you put him in a situation where he could not win, would have been a horrible look for the Krafts. So of course he's going to come back for a second season. And if things continue to be rocky next year, that's when you could expect the seat to heat up a little bit and things to change.
Absolutely. The second part of what you said, I think, is probably the primary thing, is that the Krafts can't just fire Gerard Mayo after talking so long about how he was the successor and how they think that he's like this brilliant untapped potential that they had waiting in the wings because Bill Belichick plucked him out of Optum. And to just turn around and fire him after one season, especially in the setup that you gave him, would make it look like you got no freaking clue what you're doing. And I think, you know, like there's probably a handful of fans out there compared to the overall who say like, well, I truly don't believe the Crafts have any idea what they're doing anyway. So I don't care how it looks. They should just go do what I think is the right thing. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking from that fan's perspective. They don't think that way. They want to look like they always have a plan, like they're always 3 years ahead. And that's what they thought that they looked like with Gerard Mayo. And so I don't think that they would ever do a pivot this quickly, even though, you know, there was some kind of, I don't know, there. I know that Greg Bedard this week was saying Mayo's coaching for his job, but then he also said there's an 85% chance that he's back. And in his opinion,
Bedard's always wrong, though. So this all kind of lines up.
I like Bedard a lot. He's been around the block. But I will say, like, I thought what he was trying to say is that there is something at stake for Gerard and his coaching staff and his positioning for these last four games. Like, it might look very bad. And it might actually look worse than it has in previous weeks. And that might have some consequences, maybe for like how much power he has next season or what decisions he gets to weigh in on in the offseason. Those are all things that I think he still needs to prove himself capable of through these last four games. But that doesn't mean that he's like on the hot seat, like he's going to lose his job because he loses against the Chargers.
Yeah, and as much as we want to penalize him for them not necessarily improving over the course of the season, you also, even if he is not necessarily directly responsible, the growth of Drake May matters. Like, he gets credit for that. The head coach gets credit for that. If you're going to give the head coach the minuses for the non-improvement and the bad penalties and all that other stuff, like every other side of the ball, he also gets credit for the quarterback. It's, you know, that's kind of what happens. I think AVP probably deserves the most credit and should get all of the credit, to be completely honest, but at the end of the day, the head coach takes responsibility and gets the most credit. And so, you know, if you look back at this season, you're like, yeah, it really didn't go how we thought it would. He had some trouble in the media. He had some trouble with some defensive game planning and issues. They weren't as disciplined as we want. But at the same time, we found our number one quarterback for the next 10 years, and he improved over the course of the season. So that's a step in the right direction. He's not setting our quarterback back at all. So that's a good thing, and we're going to move on to season two with those positives. And I think that's kind of how they're looking at it.
Absolutely. And look, Gerard Mayo is very fortunate that Drake May looks as good as he does.
Oh, he's so fortunate. Because if he had gone this entire season with like Bailey Zappi again or something,
my God,
it would be a disaster upon epic proportions.
Everybody should be down there should be thinking they're lucky stars for Drake May. Let's give Steve another opportunity before we pay a couple bills. Steve from Fall River, you're back on.
My 22,000th call, I had to read where around there. So Bedard is a blink of an eye that he's been a. I called Bill Bell. Someone reminded me, I called Bill a goo back in the 2005 team on a 10-year route of going to the Super Bowl with a 25-year Tom Brady. And it was all personnel. You can chime in, he's the greatest, most accomplished in the sport. And that makes you feel good. And you can keep saying it. He's not. He has six Super Bowls because he had Tom Brady. Now, why do I say that? And does that sound cheap? Look at his record without Tom. It spans 30. It spans career. It's not the last few. It's not since 70 years old. He was a disaster before. Middle. You could tell me about the Matt Castle year, but he lost.
All right, Steve's phone is still a little difficult, but I want to give him, like, I know there are people out there, I want to give him a chance, because there are people out there who feel that way, and thank you for the call, Steve. I think there are people who feel more vindicated than ever, that it was just Brady all along, and Bill was a passenger alongside Brady. I don't feel that way. I do think that he is the best coach in NFL history, and I think it's a tough argument to make on the other side. Obviously benefited enormously from Brady, but I still think that was more of a symbiotic relationship than maybe some Bill haters like to say.
Yeah, I like to look at it as Bill was a great defensive game planner, and he was a major reason why they won a lot of those Super Bowls when they got to the Super Bowls. But I think in large part they got there because of Tom Brady a lot of the time, especially at, from like 07 to 2019. It was the majority of the time Tom Brady, because you could roll out of bed and you know you were going to win 10 to 14 games just because your quarterback was named Tom Brady. And he covered up a lot of the deficiencies that Bill had when it came to personnel and talent scouting and drafting and free agent signings. And that was the greatness of Tom Brady. But then when it came down to it in those clutch moments, I mean, you look at the Rams Super Bowl in 2019, like excellent defensive game planning by Bill Belichick. He was wholly responsible for that. Even in the AFC Championship game, the first half of that game, Bill completely shut down Mahomes. Unfortunately, Tom Brady had to pour it on in the second half in order to win, because the Chiefs dominated you in the second half. But at least the first half of that game, he was in full control. And so I think Bill is very much responsible for the moments and those big moments. And like, if it was a different coach, things may have gone very differently. And I think that's why he deserves as much credit as he gets. But yeah, like I've always said that Tom Brady deserves the majority of the credit, especially in the latter half, just because he was the one who got you there. At the end of the day, like without Tom Brady, you never win any of those things ever.
Bill would say it himself. The players are the ones who win the games.
Yep.
It's the guys on the field. And Gerard Mayo would say, once you cross that white line, there's not a lot I can do for you.
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss all of that when we come back from paying some bills. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you want to chime in on Gerard Mayo, on Bill Belichick, on the reports that somebody from his camp reached out to the New York Jets, the reports that ownership is indeed sticking with Gerard Mayo next season and giving him some runway with his rookie quarterback, Drake May, all that right after this.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Not Fitzy and Mego. Shime and Mego. Mego and Shime. With the story that will not die.
Oh, God.
Shime sent me this alert right after we went to break. I swear, I want to stop talking about this story. I don't like this story.
They just
this
keep giving us more.
This built UNC story, everything around it, the more that comes out, the more it upsets me. Like, it upsets me on a human level. And here's the latest from Jonathan Jones, who's an insider for NFL on CBS, and he's excellent. I mean,
he's
all of a sudden, Jonathan Jones has so many scoops over the last 2 years. It's kind of unbelievable, because I feel like he kind of came out of left field, but this is the latest. Of course, you get the Diana Rossini report, which everyone gives a little side eye to, that somebody from Bill's camp reached out to the Jets to say, like, hey, what about Bill? What about Bill as a head coach? And you're like, what? How could that ever happen? I don't have the name right in front of me, but a New York Post Jets beat writer confirms it. Okay, and then Jonathan Jones has this. Adding to the improbable last couple of weeks, there was indeed contact between Bill Belichick and the Jets, as Diana Rossini reported. In fact, Belichick himself called the Jets to gauge interest. Source says he was told the team was just getting their search started. This breaks my heart. I hate this, Shime. I hate this. I don't even like reading this report. Good on Jonathan Jones for getting the scoop. I hate that image. I hate it. I hate it. Bill picking up the phone. Hey, have you guys thought about me? Oh, Bill, we're just getting started, actually. You know, we don't really know what we're doing here. We're going to see who Aaron Rodgers wants. We have so much faith in 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, but we don't have faith in you. I hate it.
Well, but like, not even did they say we're just beginning our search. Clearly, they indicated to him he wasn't going to be involved in the search, and that's why he was like, all right, I might as well go grab this UNC job before it goes away. Like,
oh my God.
Oh, dude, this is so, he looks so desperate.
It's bumming me out. You're better than this, Bill. You're better than this. I know you want to coach, and I'm happy now. Now I'm happy he's over at UNC. Fine. Like, whatever. Be down there. Hopefully he has success. Now I'm actually rooting for him. Like, before, I got to be honest, I didn't really care. I don't care about UNC football. If you care about UNC football, the only person I know who cares about UNC football is one of my friends who grew up down there, and Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, because he went
Drake
to school
May.
There. And Drake May. Those are the only people I know who I've ever met in person who care about UNC football. Otherwise, it means nothing to me. Now it means something to me because I need Bill to get a win. Because
oh God, he needs to win so bad.
My empathy is acting up, and I don't like it.
He needs to like go and win the ACC title right away. Otherwise, this is just going to be a nightmare for him. What? How? Oh my God! It is ruining his reputation to be stooping this low to be calling the Jets, who he openly mocks on every one of his appearances. Be like, hey, you guys need a head coach? You guys interested in Bill Belichick?
Do you think that? So here's my question: do you think that this was just check it off the list move that Bill is going? I'm going through before I make moves. And this UNC thing is in the works. I'm going through every team that I know has a vacancy just to check in. Why couldn't he get Mike Lombardi to do this? I think it just bothers me so much more that it's Bill.
Yeah, well, there's no way Bill called every team that's fired their head coach already, right? Like, there's no way he called the Bears. He didn't call what other team has fired there. I can't even think right now. But, like, there's no way he went and called every team that's already fired their head coach. Like, he just... There's no way.
There's so much history and animosity with the Jets that it's just, I don't like it. Maybe I'm overreacting. I'm telling you my true feelings. I don't like it. It makes me feel bad. I don't like it for Bill. He's better than that.
He seems like a kid with a like childhood crush that's like desperately trying to get a date. And they're just like, dude, you're like 5 years younger than me. I want nothing to do with you. Go away.
I feel like it's the night before homecoming, and his date just got mono, and he's like, "All right, I guess
go with me.
I'm gonna call the girl with the ponytail and the glasses who hangs out in the library."
And then she still says, "I don't want to go."
And she's like, "I'm actually still waiting on someone else to ask me." So, sorry, that's what it is. It's bumming me out, and
so
I hate
it.
I hate it. And he's like a super senior at the high school who everyone's like, "Why is he still here?"
Oh God, it is brutal to watch all of this unfold. And it's just like, it feels like every 20 minutes a new nugget just continues to just kind of drop.
I know, I'm scared what's going to happen next.
It's going to be like
he offered his boat 8 rings to Jerry Jones in order to get that Cowboys job. Like
the next thing is going to be he called Alabama to see if they were interested in him, and he realized none of even the power college schools were, and that's why he ended up at UNC.
Oh my God. No, I can't believe that. I don't even want to come up in it with any more scenarios. It's really bumming me out. I'd rather talk about whether or not the Crafts are making the right decision, bringing Jerod Mayo back in.
Yeah, can we talk about something a little bit more positive than this?
Well, we have to take a quick break. When we come back at the top of the hour, I do want to talk about an appearance that Alex Van Pelt had on Jones and Keefe, the midday show, because he said something that struck a nerve with you. And you have a bit of a hypothesis about Alex Van Pelt and the approach of the Patriots and whose fault this safe coaching might actually be. We're going to do that right after the break.